In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? If you will forgive me a moment of liturgical flight attending, I want to point out to you that depending on where you're sitting in the sanctuary, you're seated very near to one of several images of a lamb. There's one on our stained glass up here, and there's another one back towards the back near where our choir is. And if you see that lamb, that lamb is pictured with a halo around its head. It's pictured carrying something over its shoulder and in the crook of its arm. What the lamb is carrying is a banner with a cross on it, a banner which would have been a symbol that those who would have seen it would have recognized as a symbol of victory. And emblazoned on that banner, not a symbol of violence, not a crown of a king, but the cross that Jesus took upon himself and died upon, that he might rise above it and show us that violence would never have the last word on God's love. It's a powerful image, and it's one that's very much kind of in the background and in the foreground and sort of in the future of the stories that we listen to tonight. When Jesus gathered his disciples together on that night of the Last Supper, he gave them some deep and holy gifts to share with us forever. He gave us the symbol of bread and wine broken and poured out for us. And he gave them a commandment about how to live in the world, loving one another as he has loved us. The lamb can be a confusing symbol. It can be something that kind of fades into the background. It can be something that we don't pay too much attention to. But this week, of all weeks, we need it. I'm sure that all of you know and have heard and have been affected by the news of the shootings that occurred in our neighborhood and our community this weekend. These acts of hate and violence. This person who found some way in his life to go into an evil place and found tools close at hand to use to hurt other people, and who went out with that as his mission and his goal and accomplished it in some way that has been terrible for us. We are in a week when we know we have a need of a lamb. We're in a week where we, like the people that God was calling out of Egypt all those years ago, we're aware of our need of a Savior. We're aware that we live in a world that isn't perfect and isn't what God would have it be. We're aware that the structures that we've put in place have failed us more than once, and that we still find it easier sometimes in our lives to do violence to one another than to learn to love one another. We need the Lamb. If you remember the words from the reading from the Old Testament, it talks about how if a family cannot afford a lamb for itself, it should get together with other families and acquire one together. But Jesus is a different sort of lamb. Jesus is the lamb we could never have afforded. There's no family that could have deserved it. There's no saint that could have merited it. Jesus was a gift that God had to give to us. And like the families that would have partaken in the feast of the lamb together in that Passover long ago, we're all given the opportunity to partake in the gifts of Jesus. We're all given the opportunity to eat at his table, to take into ourselves the bread and the wine, the body and the blood that were given for us, and to take into ourselves the commandments to love one another. In the face of what happened this weekend, many people are looking for an answer. Some of them are looking for a simple one or a straightforward one. Some people are looking for an immediate one, something that will fix this, something that will take this away, something that will keep this from ever happening again, something immediate and concrete, a new law or a rule or some way of protecting ourselves, of hardening ourselves against the violence, something that we can do to defend against this and stop it. But we've actually always had the answer. And it's not an immediate one, it's a slow one. And it's a challenging one. The answer to the hate that we can learn how to find in the world is to learn instead how to love. This isn't simple work. It's not easy work. And I don't mean it to sound like a simplistic answer, because it's actually something that, if we learn how to do, it changes every part of who we are. When we learn how to live our lives in love, our neighbors look different to us. They're not strange, they're not alien, they're not foreign. They're somebody else that God has given a gift to. They're somebody else God has given life and given joy, given peace and some blessings and some opportunities to be in God's world and to do wonderful things in it. Those are who our neighbors are, and when we can learn to see them that way, it becomes a lot harder to hate. When we can look at the world and ask, where is it that God would have me serve this person? How can I become a servant to this neighbor, to this other, to this group of people who seem different to me? It becomes a lot harder to dismiss them or judge them or take up violence against them. But we've got to do the work. We have to cultivate the habit. We have to practice opening our hearts over and over again. On a week like this week, that's hard. On a week like this week, we want so much to fill our hearts with strength and power and a violence that we could reach out and use against those who would do this kind of violence in the world. But that's not what we've been called to do. We've been called to love. Jesus' gift to his disciples was to gather them together and to sort of take off his robes before them, this thing that would have been a humiliating act. And then in deeper humility, to offer to wash their feet, the job that no servant wanted, to clean the dirtiest parts of them, to kneel down and to wipe dirt from their bodies, to take away the dust of the road and the heat of the day and the sweat, to clean them, to become a servant, and to invite us to learn how to do that too. How to ground ourselves in humility first, not in our righteousness, not in the strength, not in the authority we have to speak the gospel of Jesus, not in the strength we have or the power we might acquire by following in his way, the sort of ability we might have to rule in our communities, but instead the ability to serve them. We've all had in our lives the opportunity to find great love. Sometimes it comes in unexpected places. Sometimes it comes when we didn't even realize we really needed it. Sometimes somebody reaches out towards us with it and surprises or astonishes or delights us. Sometimes it can hurt because we didn't know how much we needed it until we feel it. And sometimes we realize that we've been put into a moment where that's our gift to give. Love that somebody needs. And as we build up our community in that way, as we offer our love, as we build relationships, we find that we're creating things that last, things that are permanent, that this love, once it's created, these relationships, once they've been made fast in love, aren't ever destroyed again. It's part of the strange truth that speaks back to violence when it happens, that the violence didn't hurt the love, it didn't destroy the love. The love is still there. We still know how to love each other, even if we hurt for the hurt that's been caused to somebody. And it's ours to build a world out of that love. Like I said, it's not an immediate answer. It's not something that will make what's happened go away. And we shouldn't try. We should remember it. We should make sure that we keep it as a part of our story, that we might remember how important it is to learn to love, how important it is to choose the way that Jesus taught us. He's given us gifts. He's given us a way that's different from the ways of the world. It's different from the circumstances we might create for ourselves. It's different from the sin that will find its way into something that's only human, because it's beyond human. It's from God. We have before us always the invitation into that love. I bet if you think back on your life, you'll be able to find moments when you've been called into it, when you've had the opportunity for great love, when you've been able to build relationship, when you've been able to serve, have you had one of those days when you went home exhausted but exhilarated because you spent the day helping somebody? Have you had one of those days where you ended it with people that you cared deeply about and who cared deeply about you? Have you found people in your life that you would give your life for because you love them so deeply and you need them so much? It's the kind of gift that Jesus has given us the opportunity to be to one another. In a little bit, we'll have an opportunity to come forward and have our feet washed as a sign of the kind of servanthood that we can be called into, and as a way of marking the way that Jesus spent the night before he went on to the cross, the night before he became that lamb for us and gave us that powerful gift. I'd like you to think about the opportunities that you have to become that kind of servant to the world. Where is it that you can wash the world's feet? As an act of love, as an act of service, where can you open your heart as wide open as you're able to? Where in your life can you find a neighbor and learn more about them? Where in your life can you stand in your greatest love and peace, and how is it that God's calling you to be that person in the world? It's an invitation we'll always have, and it's given us wonderful and glorious things. I mean, the relationships of this community and the strength that it has, the way it was able to respond on Sunday, those are wonderful gifts. The kind of life that this place has through the year, the celebrations and the parties, the strength, the activities, the kind of ministry that we're able to do in the world, those are gifts that are built out of love. The kind of love that a family has and can carry through its lifetime as children grow and go on into different things in their lives, as people come together in marriages, as babies are born and are baptized, those are gifts of love. And so too are the ways that we mourn and say goodbye to one another, the way we remember one another and honor one another in lives that continue beyond death. Those are gifts of love. It's so deep a gift, we can't possibly see all the ways that it fills our world. But we're invited into it, and we're invited to be some part of it with ourselves. So as we direct our hopes towards this Easter season, as we look towards the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection it promises for all of us, I hope you're able to remember that you've been invited into that gift of love that God has given the world. I hope you're able to remember that there's a way to be a servant to that world that is greater than any violence that it can conjure up. And I hope you're able to build in your life more and more gifts of love in the name of Jesus Christ. He's given you that invitation, he's given you that opportunity, and he is overjoyed when we live it out. May that always be our hope, and may that always be our answer. In Jesus' name, amen.